You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 10th of February 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got a couple of news stories to get into today. The first one, pretty briefly really, it's just come out that Anne Sekulas, the woman that ran over Harry Dunn on his motorcycle, was working for the CIA. She was originally a spy. And how the family hadn't worked this out for themselves, I don't know. I mean, I pointed it out quite a while back that she was obviously something to do with the intelligence agencies over there in America. And they were the ones that were saying that she couldn't possibly be tried for this crime in Britain. Nothing to do with Donald Trump. Otherwise, she wouldn't have had diplomatic immunity. I mean, you only have diplomatic immunity if you are a diplomat or if you are a spy. And this family are still thinking that they're going to be able to somehow get her back here to face justice. But that goes against, that is against the law to do that. Nobody seems to be explaining this. If you have diplomatic immunity, it's the equivalent of if you're working for a company and you have an accident at that company, you expect the company to compensate you for that accident. If you have an accident when you're working with the public and you're working for that company, it's the company that takes the blame, basically. And if you're a diplomat and you're working in another country and something happens, it's the company that has to take the blame, not the person that is working for the company. That translates, if you are a diplomat, into diplomatic immunity. It means that if you break the law in the country that you've been posted to, you have diplomatic immunity. You can't be charged for that because you are, in effect, working for your country there as a diplomat or as a registered spy, basically. I mean, we can't just turn the rules upside down and start breaking internationally accepted precedents just because this poor mother wants to see the woman that ran her son over face justice. And of course I feel very sorry for her, but she should have taken the chance she had when Donald Trump very kindly arranged for her to speak to this Anne Sekulas. And I'm sure that if they'd been in private, this Anne Sekulas could have said, look, I can't come back to England because I work for the CIA. Even if I wanted to come back to England to face justice, I wouldn't be able to because it's against the law. It's against internationally accepted law. And the CIA couldn't risk having her in a British prison, obviously. And I don't understand why her American advisor hasn't told her this. I mean, he just seems to be a complete fool to me. He seems to be just leading them up the garden path and giving them false hopes and getting them to blame the wrong people rather than actually looking at the facts of the case. Anyway, the other story that I wanted to talk about today is really conspiracy theories. And this is pretty interesting. This is a big study that's being reported on in The Independent. Nearly a third of Brexit voters believe Muslim immigration is part of a plot to Islamise Britain, according to a major new study that has revealed a pattern of deep mistrust for authorities. Now, most people think conspiracy theory in itself discredits what people are talking about. But there are conspiracies. Conspiracy is a crime in itself. You can be charged with conspiracy to commit whatever acts, conspiracy to commit defraud, conspiracy to defraud, conspiracy to commit acts of violence. Conspiracy is a crime in itself. So conspiracies do exist. And to have a theory about a conspiracy is quite a reasonable thing to have. And to say that Muslim immigration is part of a plot to Islamicize Britain, I mean, that's been proved. The imams themselves talk about this. The imams themselves talk about how eventually through the birth jihad, through all the Muslim babies that are born and the birth rates that the Muslim immigrants have that are much higher than the indigenous birth rates, just simply through that, Britain will end up eventually being Islamicized if nothing is done about it. And they quite openly talk about this. They quite openly talk about their wish to do this. It's not as if it's a fantasy of the far right that's, you know, just making this up or making this allegation. It's quite clear for most people to see that that is where Britain is heading. That is where most of Europe is heading if they continue to keep taking in these Muslims. I mean, what is Islam in itself? Islam's goal is to conquer the world. It means to submit. The word Islam means to submit. And political Islam, which is half of the religion, basically, its goal is to get the whole world under Sharia law. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That is part of the religious teachings. What I'm surprised about is it's only a third of Brexit voters that believe that Muslim immigration is part of a plot to Islamicize Britain, because it should be 100% of people understand that. I mean, it is basic common sense. It is what they talk about. It is the goal of the religion is to Islamicize everywhere. But what they're trying to do here is they're trying to discredit that. They don't actually come up with any evidence here to show that that's not true. They just use it as the headline that is supposed to scare people and show that there's a pattern of deep mistrust for authorities. The survey by researchers at Cambridge University and YouGov is the most comprehensive examination of conspiracy theories ever conducted, and is the first time academics have looked into questions of trust in the media and conspiracy beliefs across countries. Asked if they believed Muslim immigration to this country is part of a bigger plan to make Muslims a majority of this country's population, 31% of Leave voters said they did. The far-right conspiracy theory, known as the Great Replacement, originated in France and often apportions blame to perceived elites such as the European Union. Well, the idea of Muslim immigration being about turning countries into a country full of Muslims, that's not part of the Great Replacement. And the Great Replacement is not a theory. That is exactly what goes on. If you import a load of different people into a country, then quite clearly they are going to replace the people that are already in that country. And the word itself, replacement, comes from the UN. It's what the UN termed its immigration policy. It called it replacement immigration. And they spoke about how European birth rates were going down. And because of that, Europeans needed, the people that weren't there needed to be replaced by migrants. So they had this big plan of replacement migration. We will bring in people from Africa and people from the Middle East, and we'll bring them into Europe to replace the births that aren't happening, that should be happening, from white people. So it was the UN that actually came up with this term. You can check it out there. All you have to do is listen to what politicians say when they talk about their reasons for immigration, and they will say, oh, because we've got an old and dying population, and we're going to have nobody to pay the taxes, and we're not going to be able to look after these old people. So we need to bring in other peoples in order to replace the Europeans that aren't here, basically. And that is a replacement. Instead of encouraging Europeans to produce more, like they are doing in places like Hungary and Poland and Russia, the members of the EU states have all said, well, we'll just replace the Europeans. And where it says here that this blame is apportioned, or this perceived blame is apportioned to elites such as the European Union, well, that is entirely correct, isn't it? Because it is the EU that wants to portion out migrants into all the different countries of the EU. I mean, this was Merkel's plan, that they would let in as many refugees as possible and then apportion out a certain number to all the different countries in the EU. This isn't a fantasy here. This isn't a theory. This is fact. And then it says here the figure among the Remain voters was 6%. So obviously what they're doing here is they are conflating the idea about the great replacement, replacement migration. They are conflating that with the idea of Muslims moving into a country with the aim of taking the country over, basically, through their high fertility rates. And they're actually two different subjects. The fact that Remain voters don't believe this, it really just shows you that how gullible Remain voters are. I mean, they believe all this nonsense that the EU has given them, and they believe all the brainwashing, and effectively what they're doing is saying, well, we don't believe what our very eyes and ears are telling us. Almost half the Leave voters, 47%, believe the government are deliberately hiding the truth about how many immigrants live in the country, compared to 14% of Remain voters. The government themselves admit that they are hiding the truth about how many immigrants are in the country. They don't know how many illegal immigrants we have here. And they always say that when they release the figures and say, this is the number that have come in as economic migrants, this is the number that have come in as refugees, but we do not have any way that we can quantify the number of immigrants that have come in illegally. So basically half the Leave voters are agreeing with the government here that they are hiding the truth about how many immigrants live in the country. I mean, it would be very easy to prevent these people from coming in. We live in an island here in Britain. We live on an island. It should be the easiest thing in the world to prevent people from getting to our shores. We've got radar systems. We've got coast guards. We've got plenty of people that would be happy to help out in this, preventing people from coming over here illegally. And all these boats that are now coming across the channel that are being picked up by our lifeboats and rescue ships, basically, our channel protection vessels are nothing more than ferry boats, basically, for these migrants. They come out into the channel, they set off a flare or whatever to say, look, we're here, we've broken down, and then the British boat comes, and instead of taking them back to France, where they've come from, they bring them back to Britain and they put them in a holding centre, and they entertain these fake refugees' claims for asylum. And I say they are fake refugees because there is no war in France, and you are supposed to claim asylum in the nearest safe country, and yet apparently we don't enforce that. Our government will not enforce that. And because the government doesn't enforce that, it just encourages more of them to come over here. So the government are not only hiding the truth about how many immigrants live in the country by not making an estimate of all the illegal ones, they're not deterring the illegal immigrants from coming into the country either. The study, however, painted a general picture of distrust among the population at large in the UK, with 60% of Britons believing at least one conspiracy theory. Why does believing in a conspiracy theory mean that there's general distrust? And believing in conspiracy theories doesn't mean that you're not a trusting person. It means that you're a sensible person and you can process what you see and you can process it and you can see that, yes, there are conspiracies that go on. The EU are conspiring to replace the European population. They are conspiring together, as I pointed out, by saying that they want to portion out certain numbers of refugees in each European country. So that is a conspiracy theory, and that is a valid conspiracy theory. Disparities in the United States among Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton supporters were even more stark, with 41% of Trump voters believing in a great replacement, compared to 3% of Clinton backers. And that's good. That shows that a large portion of the Trump supporters understand about the problems that we have with immigration. And yet Donald Trump himself keeps talking about how he wants more immigration. He's really out of touch with his people here. I mean, I'm quite encouraged at that there is, you know, a large portion of the people that back Trump or the people that would vote for Trump understand that this is being deliberately done. The figures, which will be published in full on Friday, are the result of a 6-year study spanning 9 countries, UK, US, France, Poland, Italy, Germany, Portugal, Sweden, and Hungary. And it was funded by the Leverholme Trust. Well, it doesn't really seem to be that big a study. If it's been going on for 6 years, and this is just about all that they've found out from it, it's a bit of a weak study, I would have thought. It really take 6 years just to poll people and find out whether they think that there's a plot to Islamicize Britain? Researchers defined a conspiracy theory as a belief that some actors have conspired to do something covertly, usually something dysfunctional or evil. They polled respondents about 10 common theories that had emerged from their research. So, I mean, it's admitting it there, isn't it? That actors have conspired to do something. It's not out of the ordinary that people conspire. People work together to achieve goals that they want to achieve, basically. The fact that it is conspiring, that fact in itself means that it's being done behind closed doors, usually because it's going to have some negative consequences. People don't conspire together to award everybody in the town £50 each, that sort of thing. It has a negative connotation. The figures also revealed Brexiteers, 12%, are 6 times more likely to believe climate change is a hoax than Remainers, 2%, although this pales in comparison to almost half of the Trump voters. And this is good for the Trump voters here, that they are sceptical. They think for themselves, basically. And, you know, over here in Britain, we do seem to have more climate change propaganda than anywhere else. I mean, it's not so full on in America as it is over here. I mean, people do think for themselves. This idea that there is climate change. The climate has always changed. We had the medieval warm period. We used to grow grapes here and make our own wine. And life was a lot easier in the Middle Ages, in the Middle Age warm period. The fact that it is changing now is just basically part of life, isn't it? It's part of life on Earth that the climate changes. It goes from hot to cold. It's basically being used as an excuse to agitate for world government. Of course, it's a good idea that we use less plastic, that we recycle, but that should all be done out of a concern for our immediate environment anyway, not out of some idea that we can change the climate and we can prevent pollution over in the third world by doing it. I mean, we need to encourage the third world to stop polluting the place, But we should just be doing that naturally here anyway. We shouldn't need to be agitating for a world government and in order to do it. I mean, that is basically communism. That is the communist idea. And currently, today, communism wears the cloak of climate change. The figures also revealed a belief that there are harmful effects from vaccines and that they are hidden from the public. And this was more than twice as prevalent among Leave voters than it was among Remainers. I mean, it does look here as if Leavers, the Brexiteers, are much more in tune with the truth movement than the Leavers, who just seem to believe whatever they're told. That's what this is telling us, is that Brexiteers and Trump voters are sceptical and think for themselves, whereas Leave voters and Democrats just believe whatever it is they are told by the media. Of course, there are some harmful effects of vaccines. A lot of the stabilizers and preservatives that they use for vaccines aren't any good for you. And we have these instances of people or children, babies being given a vaccine and suddenly they changed or they developed autism. It definitely requires more research into it. It's not a subject that I'm particularly well educated in, but it just seems common sense to me that yes, of course there could be harmful effects from vaccines. There are harmful effects from most medicine. That's why you need to read the patient information leaflet when you take medicine, so that you can see what the harmful effects are. Just about everything has some harmful effects that you have to weigh up with the positive effects. And we do know that there is a drive to keep the people that have questions about vaccines, to prevent them from actually being heard. We know that they will censor information about vaccines on Twitter and Facebook, and even talk about making vaccines mandatory for all children before they can be educated in schools. So there's obviously something going on there that we're not being told. 15% of Brexiteers and 11% of EU supporters agree with the statement, regardless of who is officially in charge of governments and other organisations, there is a single group of people who secretly control events and rule the world together. Now, thinking about this one, regardless of who is in government, regardless of who the Prime Minister is, the civil service remains the same, doesn't it? The intelligence agencies remain the same. The people that are advising these puppets that get voted in, the people that are advising them, they remain the same. That is the deep state, alongside the heads of business and the heads of the banks. And if that wasn't so, we wouldn't be able to have democracy, would we? We wouldn't be able to vote a new person in every 4 years, unless there was a system that we had that was going to be instructing them on how to do their jobs, basically, and giving them their information. So quite clearly, regardless of who is in charge of government and other organisations, there is a single group of people who are controlling things and advising them. I don't really see why people can't actually work that out. They think that's quite innocent, I guess, that the civil service and the intelligence agencies, they're quite innocent. But when we look at what's happened with Donald Trump and we look at the way that they have conspired against Donald Trump with this Russia hoax and with this impeachment thing, I think it becomes quite clear that there is a shadow government. There is effectively a deep state. And of course, then you've got the central banks. The central banks are all working together. We know that the central banks are actually run by private individuals. They're not actually run by the nation state. And we're told that that would be a bad thing if the nation state ran its own banks. But that's the whole point of having sovereignty, is that you can issue your own money. Of course, that's what the Syrian bank does. That's what the Iranian bank does. That's what the North Korean bank does. That's what Adolf Hitler did with his bank during the war. And quite clearly that has something to do with these wars that go on, that try to remove the legitimately elected governments of these countries. Of course, the first thing that happened when Colonel Gaddafi was overturned in Libya is that they set up a central bank in Benghazi, because Gaddafi had his own banking system as well. And if the rest of the world is going to go to war under the heading of the UN against these countries that all have their own sovereign banks, then quite clearly there is a single group of people that are directing that. And that's by the definition, isn't it? If they're going in there and saying, well, the UN have decided to do this, then yes, there is a single group of people who are directing that. They're not doing it so secretly. And this is the thing, it's not so secret anymore, is it? George Soros and the influence that he has, that is not so secret anymore. And we know the influence that the Rothschilds have. We know the influence that that Rockefeller had. We know who these people are and that they are controlling things and directing the direction of the world. I mean, look at the Davos Economic Forum, where you get all the rich people in the world together and you get the politicians there, and the rich people direct the politicians as to what they want their policies to be. It's not so secret anymore. It's all out in the open. But when you talk about it, it gets accused of being a conspiracy theory, as if that somehow negates it. Dr. Hugo Leal, one of the project's researchers, said anti-immigration conspiracy theories had been gaining ground since the refugee crisis first came to prominence in 2015. The conspiratorial perception of the governments are deliberately hiding the truth about levels of migration appears to be backed by a considerable portion of the population across much of Europe and the United States, he said. Well, of course, because we can see the massive levels of immigration that are going on. We can see that London is 60% non-white, and we can see that the approach of the media and the approach of government is to play this down and pretend that it's nothing to get alarmed about. But of course, it is something to get alarmed about. You know, it means that in 40 years' time, we'll be a minority in our own country. It's something that the government should be doing something to prevent. Is something that we should have advocacy groups talking about. And of course, as soon as we get an advocacy group, as soon as we get somebody that speaks up for white people, they're accused of being racist, they're accused of being white supremacist, neo-Nazi, they're deplatformed, they're censored. So of course people can see that the government are trying to hide the truth about migration and the effects of migration. It's just obvious to anybody that looks at the media and looks at what our politicians say. Of Leave and Trump voters, Dr. Leal said, researchers found the existence of a conspiratorial worldview linking both electorates. And again, that's good. It shows that there is this scepticism, a healthy amount of scepticism among Brexiteers and Trump voters. The team assessed levels of conspiracy scepticism by looking at those who refuted every conspiratorial view in the study. Sweden had the highest levels of conspiracy scepticism, with almost half rejecting every conspiracy put to them, while Britain had a relatively strong 40% rejection of conspiracies. So what they mean here by conspiracy scepticism isn't that people are sceptic of what's going on and can see conspiracies, but people that automatically think because somebody has suggested a conspiracy that it must be a false theory. And Sweden comes up the highest with this. And of course, Sweden is the most brainwashed, the most liberal, the most multicultural country in Europe. So it corresponds with that as well. Trust in different professions was also investigated, with government and big business coming out worst across all countries in the study. Why would that be that people mistrust the government, eh? Look at what they're doing to us. They're replacing us. Around three quarters of Britons said they did not trust government ministers or company chief executives. Distrust of journalists was equally as common. A telling takeaway of the study is that conspiracy theories are nowadays mainstream rather than marginal beliefs, said Dr. Leal. These findings provide important clues to understand the popularity of populist and nationalist parties contesting elections across much of the Western world. A total of 2,171 people in Britain and 1,223 people in the US were surveyed for the study between the 13th and the 31st of August. The survey was carried out online. For each country's sample, figures have been weighted and are representative of the adult population. So obviously this survey must have included a lot more than this if it's been going on for 6 years, and yet all they're talking about here is this little bit here was done between the 13th and the 31st of August. So it'd be interesting to see just what they have found out here. I mean, you shouldn't discredit the idea of conspiracies just because it's called a conspiracy theory. Conspiracies do exist, and a lot of them are right out in the open for all to see. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.